Good morning, and it's wonderful to gather together once again in the presence of God and to look from God's Word. And I know that we have just passed one great hurdle of having come together and sing together. And thank you, Vicky, for the help. And hopefully we can go through the message as well. You know, this morning, we are not going into the book of Revelation, but we will consider something, books that is very close to Revelation and also written by the same author. So I want to turn your attention to 1 John and want to look at the love of God from 1 John, from all the chapters. And I just want to put together based on God's love, how we can go through this chapter and see, understand these chapters and understand the love of God. Just let's look to the Lord once again. Heavenly Father, we pray that you may be with us and guide us through as we look into 1 John, and pray the Spirit of God may bring the right word to our hearts, and we may be able to rejoice reading and studying from thy word and applying it in our life. We ask this in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you know, as we go through the first epistle of John, we find that Apostle John moving between three important themes in relation to God's essential nature. So as we look at it, we see that he's dealing with the fact that God is life, and God is light, and God is love. So these are the three main themes that he is trying to develop and through these chapters. And when we look at the fact that God is life, he's looking at in relation to our eternal life. So he's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is referred to as the eternal life. And in relation to him, we also have the eternal life. Then he moves to the fact that God is light. And he expresses that in terms of our fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Then he moves to the third aspect, that is, God is love. And he talks about that in relation to our sonship. So these are the three main themes that John presents to us through this epistle. And I want to focus on the love of God, the fact that God is love. That's what we're going to look at this morning from this chapter. We know that it begins with the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the eternal life. And as we come to the end of this book, we see the same theme, that he is eternal life. So he's true God and he's eternal life. So he begins with the fact that he's the eternal life, and he ends with the fact that he is eternal life, and we who believe in him also receives that eternal life. And in between that, you know, he puts together these two themes, that he is light and he is love. So that's the context of putting the fact that he is love. So let's look at the fact that the Lord or God is love. Now, I just want to present this in under five headings. First of all, we'll look at the fact that we will look at the manifestation of God's love, then the manner of God's love, then the measure of God's love, then the marks of God's love, and finally the mandates of God's love. So these are the five topics that we would consider this theme of the fact that God is love. Now let's look at the fact that God is, the love of God, that he manifested his love towards us. Let's read that very familiar verse from chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. In this, the love of God is manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So here we see how God manifested His love. So the manifestation of God's love. You know, as we look at this, I see it, you know, it appears to be trifold in its fulfillment in our life. So it comes to us in three tenses. So first, it was manifested to us in the past. So God's love came to us, you know, in the past, so that, you know, He is the one who loved us. The love of God initiated from His part, and we see in the past that God loved us and He sent His only begotten Son into this world. So that He loved us, it was manifested in the past when we were sinners, when we were separated from God. We see the fact that He loved us and He gave His only begotten Son into this world for us. So it took place in the past, you know, even before we were born. His love was, you know, channeled towards us so that we could appropriate it in the proper time when we put our trust in Him. So His love we see in the past. And not only that, His love initiated in the past, but we see that His love is being manifested at present. So verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. So, not only that God loved us, and He wanted to save us, but He continued to show that love in our life. Right? So, so He loves us, and He dwells in us. So, He comes down into our heart when we trust in Him, and He dwells in us. And He wants to perfect that love in us. So, He wants to, you know, show that love through us. So He comes down to us. He continues to manifest His love, not only in the past, but in the present. He continues to share that love to us. And not only that, we see that His love will continue to manifest in our life in the future. Verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have the boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. So, you know, it continues to prepare us. It continues to work in our heart. And also, it enables us, it gives us the boldness to stand in the day of judgment. So, the love of God never leaves us, right? So, it continues to work in our life in the present, and it keeps us so that we could stand. And one day, you know, when He's coming, and when we stand before Him, it equips us. It gives us the strength to stand before Him. So, so it also talks about, you know, how He saved us. He saved us eternally. So we are saved, and He continues to show His love towards us. You know, He comes into our life, and He indwells in us, and He equips us every day so that we can stand with boldness on the day when we go to meet Him. So that's how God continues to manifest in our life. So it started in the past, it continues in at present, and it prepares us until the day then when we go to stand and face Him on the day of judgment. So He continues to manifest that love in our life. So let's move to the second point that I want to bring before you, that is the manner of God's love that we see in chapter 3. It's a very familiar verse from chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. So here we are looking at the manner of His love. You know, it's unique. It's unique in its kind, and we will look at the manner of his love. And it says, behold. So the apostle says that, you know, behold this love. Take a closer look at it. And, you know, try to understand what this love is all about. So he urges us, as we are the recipients of this love of God, he wants us to take a closer look at the love. And that's what we should be doing in our spiritual life. No, looking, not only that we receive the love of God and experience it, let's look into that love. Because that is unique, that is different. And he also continues to say that the Father hath bestowed upon us. So, you know, he has lavished that love upon us. There's no limit of how much he gave, how much he loves us, right? He loves us unconditionally. And there's no end to his love. So he wants us to look at that love the Father has bestowed upon us. You know, we know the parable of the prodigal son, where the father, you know, bestowed his love upon his son when he came back. And we have a wonderful description of, you know, father opening his house and spreading the table before him and accepting him. You know, his desire was, you know, he could come back to his house and be a servant, and that would have been satisfied his heart. But here we see that the heart of the father is love. He is willing to accept him. He is willing to forgive him and take him as his own son and lavish his love upon him. And that's what God did in our life. So we have to understand that his love is unique. It cannot be compared to any other kind of love. You know. And also he goes on to say that we should be called the children of God. You know, it is the highest degree. We see that, if you go to Gospel of John chapter 17, verse 23 says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So the love that the Father has for us is the same kind of love that Father has for his own beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, that is something unique. That is something that we need to ponder, that we need to consider, that God did such great love towards us. And he is willing to show that kind of love towards us, that we are called as the children of God. And, you know, every day in our life, you know, we could think of that love and be thankful to God that, you know, we were not the children of God, but here we are. God has made us his children. And moving on, you know, we see that he has made us his children, and his love continues to work in our life. You know, in verse 2 says, the latter part of that, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we see that it continues to work in our life. He wants to make us just like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that love continues to work in our life. And not only that, if you turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 and 39, you know, very familiar verse, you know, we read of the fact that we shall not be separated from the love of God. You know, things could happen in this world, whether it's natural or supernatural things that he mentioned there. No, nothing of that, you know, will ever separate us from the love of God. So we see this manner of God's love that is unique. It's of the highest degree and order. And we are so fortunate, so blessed to experience this love. God loved us and made us his children, just like his own beloved son. Now God has added us to his own family. What a great love. And let us continue to behold that love, continue to think about that love. And And I also looked at a comparison with similar words in John 3:16 that we know, you know, both written by Apostle John, and just trying to see what the difference or what is any comparison with that. So in 3:16, we read of, "For God so loved the world." And here in 3:1, "What manner of love?" So we see these two aspects of the love of God, the God so loved, and here also we want to focus on the manner of God's love. And 3:16, the universal nature of that love. It's focused on the world, right? God's loved the world, so it is so extensive. It is universal. Anyone who is willing to put their trust in Him, God, you know, is willing to make them as His own children. So it goes into the world. And here, the apostle wants us to look at the unique nature. So it is directed to the sons of God, not the world, but the sons of God. So it narrowed down to the sons of God, the uniqueness of His love. And 3:16, it's talking about God. You know, God loved so the world. But here it is specific. It's Father's love to us. Father loved us. And 3:16 is the measure. It's so loved the world. It's so extensive, so vast. And the quantity of that love. But here it's the manner, the quality. No, it's something unique. And we want to look at that love. So that's the difference there. And 3:16 is the salvation. Talking about the everlasting life. But here it's talking about relationship. It is, we are made as His children, His sons. And 3:16 is the redeeming love, the love that saves us. Here is the transforming love. No, He saved us and He's transforming us under the image of His Son. So it continues to work in our heart. Now, let's look at the third aspect of His love, the measure of God's love. Chapter 3, verse 16. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So here the focus is, we are trying to see the depth of His love, the measure of God's love. It says, He laid down His life for us. Christ laid down His life for us. And back in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 18, the Lord says, "I laid down myself." So He came into this world to give His life for us, to sacrificially give His life for us. That's the measure of God's love, how much He loved us. No, we just need to look at the cross of Calvary and appreciate that love. And He laid down His life for us. You know, His love is the yardstick by which our love is going to be measured. So, no, God wants us to look at that love and see how much He loved us. And He wants us to use that yardstick to measure our own love for Him and to others. So our love should, you know, match up to the measure, mode, and motives of His love. So we are looking at the love of Lord Jesus Christ. And there we see, we can quantify the depth of that love. You know, the depth, height, width, and breadth of that love, that, you know, we can look at the cross and see and try to understand the measure of His love. Now, moving on to the fourth aspect of His love, let's look at the marks of His love. What are the marks of His love? First thing that we see is that there's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. Verse chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. There is no fear. Love and fear don't go together. right? So, you know, I am assured, we are assured of the fact that God loves us, right? And if God loves us, you know, He told us that He's going to indwell in us, right? And He's going to protect us. He's going to lead us in the difficulties of this life, right? So we don't have to be afraid of anything. We don't have to be afraid of, you know, what the devil can do in our life. There's no fear in love. So that perfect love casteth out fear. We don't have to be afraid of what the enemy could inflict upon our life. But, you know, He loved us. He manifested His love towards us. And we can be assured of the fact that God continues to keep us in His love. So, you know, there is no fear in His love. Then we, secondly, we see that love is of God. And chapter 4, verse 7. Behold, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So another mark of that God's love is that, you know, we are born of God. And if you are born of God, you know God. You have that relationship with God. And you grow in that relationship with Him. So that's a wonderful mark for us. You know, if you love God, because God is love. And we are born of God. And we know God. And we can, you know, live according to His commandments. As we see moving further down, we see that, you know, we can follow Him. We can, you know, put our trust in Him, and we can continue to experience that love in our life. Then another aspect of His love is, you know, we'll be compassionate to the needy. Chapter 3, verse 17. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So it says in a negative way, but the point here is that, you know, if you experience the love of God, and you know, you will have compassion for others, for the needy. So that's one of the marks of God's love. You know, if you are if we are molded by God's love, you show that compassion to others. So let us, you know, be compassionate. Let us be, you know, mindful of others' need and support each other, because, you know, we are indwelled by God and we are shaped by His love. And another important thing, you know, loves his brother. Chapter 4, verse 21 says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loveth his brother also. That's a great commandment that, you know, he repeats over and over again, the fact that, you know, if you love God, you also love your brother. So that is inseparable as far as God is concerned. So here is giving out another important mark of our relationship with God, and a mark of our love towards Him, that if we love God, we also need to love our fellow brethren. So that's a wonderful commandment that we need to follow in our spiritual life. Now let's look at the final point that I want to bring before you. That is the mandates of God's love. What this love requires from our life. You know, what is the application of this love in our life? You know, it's good to think about the God's love towards us, right? Think about the manifestation of His love and the manner of His love. But ultimately, it has to work in our life. It not only saved us, but there are certain requirements that love mandates in our life. So, the first thing is, you know, love one another. There are a few verses which tells us that we need to love one another. Chapter 4, verse 7, that we looked at earlier. Beloved, let us, chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. So that's a requirement of God's love. We need to love one another. And chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So it's being emphasized over and over again. And the verse 421 that we have considered previously, you know, all these verses, you know, gives us the importance of loving each other. So as we look at the manifestation of God's love and the manner of God's love, now let us implement that love in our life by loving one another. And also another aspect of His love, the reference there is love not the world. Chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, if you experience the love of the Father, you know, if you are saved by that love, it mandates that you do not love the world. And He continues to explain to us what the world is. In verse 16, what He's referring to as the world, it is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And if we have these in our life, you know, it says that the love of the Father is not in us. So, no. So the commandment here, or the instruction here for us, is not to love the world, not to be led by the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life that need to be separated from our life. So, the love of the world and the love of the Father, they don't go together. Either you have the love of the world or the love of the Father. So let us be sure, or make sure in our life, that we have the love of the Father, right? So that's a mandate that we need to follow in our life as far as the love of God is concerned. And also another requirement is that we keep His commandments. Chapter 5, verse 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. So if you have experienced the love of God, it is important for us to keep His commandments, to keep His word. Chapter 2, verse 5, but whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. So, keeping the word, keeping His commandments, and that's how that love is going to be perfected. So we are molded according to the precepts of the law of the God's word, and you know, He's going to change our life into the image of His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And another mandate of God's love we see in chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So, not just talking about God's love, or no, thinking about God's love. You know, it need to be practiced in our life. It need to be, you know, we need to put into action that this love through our dealings with others. So if we have the love of God, it need to be expressed through our action in our spiritual life, you know, by helping others, or, you know, understanding the need of others, as we see in this context here. You know, if we have that love of God, you know, it need to be expressed, not just talking about God's love or understanding and keeping in our head, but head knowledge, but practically using that love or manifesting that love to help others. And another side of this is, you know, what happens if you don't have the love of God? You know, if we fail to love, or the lack of love towards our brethren, or on the opposite side, if there is a hate, that also is being covered in this epistle. Chapter 2:9. He that saith he is in light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. So, no, if you're saying that you are in light, and if you are, if you have some hatred towards your brother, you are in darkness. And chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So the previously it was darkness, now it is in death. And chapter 4, verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. So we see all these scenarios where, you know, if you don't have the love, or you have hatred to others, no, we will be in darkness. We will be in the state of spiritual death, and as liars before God. And chapter 4, verse 8, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So, no, if you don't love each other, that means we don't know God. Right, and we are not able to understand him, because he himself is love. Now, as we conclude, just want to see some of the implications of this love in our life. Now, coming back to the first point, that is the manifestation of God's love. God manifested his love towards us, and when we are saved, you know, he indwells in our life, and that love need to be perfected in us. So God manifested his love in us, and he has made us his children, and he wants to perfect that love in our life. And when we move to the manner of God's love, there the idea is to purify us, right? To make us his son. So when we look at the manner of God's love, we should be thinking of the fact that we are going to be made just like his son. So that thought of his love should purify ourselves, to make us holy, to live a holy life, so that, you know, we could be like his son. Then if you look at the measure of God's love, what it tells us is that, you know, we should be self-giving. We should be sacrificially giving to others. When we look at the love of Christ, where he died for us on the cross of Calvary, emptying himself, that also should motivate us to give ourselves for the need of others. When we look at the mark of God's love, you know, talking about born of God, or, you know, it shows that we know God, we are born of God. And finally, the mandates of God's love. Now, it is important for us to keep his commandment, his word. So when we appreciate, understand the love of God towards us, you know, on a daily basis, we also have the responsibility to keep his word and keep his commandments in our life. So just a wonderfully apostle, you know, John brings before us this greatness of God's love towards us, and he explains to us throughout these chapters, and it's wonderful to look at it and appreciate God's love towards us, and also prepare ourselves so that we can manifest that same love, you know, matching to the depth and extent of his love for us there on the cross of Calvary. So let's keep his commandments and his word in our life, so that his life may become perfect in our life. Let's close with that.